Good morning. Thank you all for being here on our 4th of July weekend. A lot of people are traveling, doing a lot of things, but I'm glad that you chose to be here with us today. How many here got a lot of courage? See, she's got courage to say.
She does.
Amen. She's got courage now, I'm going to tell you that. But sometimes we deal with things in life that test our courage, don't we? So we started last week talking about seeing your way through it. We did a comparison of Elisha in 2 Kings and also Paul in the book of Philippians. So we're going to be looking at those scriptures again today. And we want to break down courage a little bit and things that God has said He's going to do for us. But let's look at Philippians this morning. Then we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 6. But Philippians chapter 4, I want you to see some things here. Now, Paul and Elisha both, and I like to compare a lot of times in the Old Testament, complements the New Testament, and we all know that we need them both. But the situations were typically about the same. People were discouraged. And we're living in a time right now where the Bible said, if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. And the deception is coming from fear. Fear is something we all deal with. Fear is something we all have to a certain degree. Something that we fear in our life. God don't want us to run from life. He wants to run to life, but know that He is our source. I hope that makes some sense there. But as you go through things in life, there's a diversity of things that come against us, and some of those things will cause us to fear. Excuse me. Fear of the future. Fear of our physical. Fear of what's going on with our families. Fear is a weapon that the enemy has always used from the beginning of time. And we need to be aware of it. Now Paul here in Philippians chapter 4, he is writing this letter to encourage them. He says here in chapter 4, I'll read several verses. I want to read the whole chapter, but I won't do that for time's sake. But in your study, read the whole chapter. But it says, therefore, verse 1, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my crown, my joy and crown, stand fast. Now you remember we read, Elisha said, fear not. In the New Testament, Paul is saying, stand fast. It all goes together. Stand fast. When you've done all the stand on what you know. I want that to sink in right now because fear always comes to take you away or to disillusion your mind of what is actually. How many of you know the devil's a liar? How many of you know he lies to us and you're going to do this and this is going to happen to you and oh no, I don't know how you're going to make that. Do you think our Heavenly Father is going to throw us out there and forsake us? There's not a one of you here. I've been around you long enough to know that you love your family. And if your family member calls you in the middle of the night, you don't care what time it is. You don't care how sleepy you are. You're going to get up and you're going to go. Mom, I need help. Daddy, I need help. You're going to go. Ask questions later. Well, if we do that, how much more is God going to do that for us? Every one of us is going through something. Every one of you in here are dealing with something. And I guarantee you, at some point in your life, there's a fear that comes in there. And Elisha says, fear not. Not fear that is not supposed to be a part of your vocabulary. Not. Don't allow it to come in and settle. And then here Paul says, stand fast. Why? Because fear will get you to lose you. Have you ever lost your balance? And that's a bad feeling to lose your balance. That's what fear does. Fear comes to cause us to lose our balance. So he says here, Fear not. Or he says, dearly beloved, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now, many people read the Bible and don't understand what they're saying and say some things that he's saying here. He doesn't say not to be responsible. He says be careful for nothing. You remember every one of you failed the test last week. I remember that. I remember that part. I got your name down. And at the end of the year, we're going to have a parent-teacher conference. Amen. And some of y'all's mom and daddies, they may be gone, but you remember how they used to whoop your butt when you didn't do right, right? Amen. I was blowing the driveway this week, and I thought about Rose's daddy. He always complimented me about blowing the driveway. He wanted everything done right, especially when it comes to a tree limb, right? So we learn that, and we do what we do because we want to make them pleased. Don't think they ain't watching us. I'm going to get him another sermon around now, but the Bible says a greater cloud of witnesses. Don't think they ain't watching because they are. Amen. Isn't that comforting? Now, I done got on something else. But it says, verse 6, be careful for nothing. Remember we said that faith always, always, always begins with nothing. You're going through something. Faith is the substance of things not seen. Faith is nothing. I don't see anything. Remember the guy that went to the water, couldn't find no rain 6 times? Nothing. There's nothing. What do you have in your house? I don't have nothing. But a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal, I don't have nothing. Some of you are going through things right now in your life and it don't seem like nothing is happening. But God promises He's never going to leave us. So He can't lie against Himself. So He's there with us. And if He is with us, the supply is with us. And everything we need is with us, so it can't be nothing. Does that make sense? Amen. He says, be careful. Now, why does he say be careful? Because that's that point. That's that frail point in our life when things are not happening the way we want them to happen. Or maybe the doctor said, well, it could be this. And then we just go through a lot of things, a lot of fear. And Paul says, be careful. Let me turn around just a little bit, because I don't believe in adding to or taking away from the Word. But here's the context of what it says. When you don't see nothing, be careful. That's not a time to give up. That's not a time. See, because these people he's writing to are scared. He said, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So what's he talking about there? He's talking about relationship. That everything you're talking to God, you're pouring your heart out to God. Look at this. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, what's the next part? Shall keep. Isn't that what we want? Fears come in to disrupt us and shatter us and bewilder us, and we feel like we're losing it. We feel like we're falling apart. Anybody this week, don't raise your hand. But anybody this week felt like you were going to lose it? But you're not going to lose it. You're not going to lose it because there's somebody there keeping. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Are you getting anything out of this? Amen. Shall keep your hearts. That's it right there. That's the part I have problems with. Because I pray sometimes, Lord, I need to be strong in here because I feel like I'm getting crushed. I feel like I'm going under, Lord. I need some strength right here. God says, no problem. I'm going to keep that heart. That heart belongs to me. You're my child, and I will do whatever it takes, even if I have to give my only son for you. I'm going to do it because I love you that much. That's awesome. So He's going to keep your hearts and minds. How many lost your mind this week? I was about to lose my mind up here this morning in church. James come to serve me the bread and I was going to give him an offering. Amen. It's tough getting old. Y'all don't know it, all you young spring chickens out there. Amen. Here's what he said in verse 8. Now, I tell you, the Holy Spirit is really anointing this message, because everything I've studied, I got everything prepared and everything, but it's totally going different ways. But anyway, His will be done. Verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. Does that sound like God? Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what does it say? Think on these things. Look at verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein as I also be careful that ye lack an opportunity. That verse right there, Philippian church was a church that supported Paul through his whole missionary endeavors. He had three missionary journeys, and they were one of the main churches that sent him offerings and food and clothes. They took care of Paul his whole journey. Isn't that awesome? And he's saying, not that I got a need, because you've been careful to always take care of me. And he's using that as his example. In life, you go through lack sometimes and you don't understand what's going on. But God is working the plan, even though it seems like nothing. Be careful for nothing. Now, that's awesome. Look at verse 13. This is one of the verses. This chapter here has got a couple verses that we've heard all our life. This is one of them. Verse 13 said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It didn't say who strengthens me. It says which, because you need it right now. How many of you know you need strength every day? You need strength in the morning. You need strength. Some days you need it every minute. Some days are worse. Some days are Monday. Hey, have you ever had a week that's Monday every day? That's bad. But He gives us the strength to get through it. And you're here this morning, and I guarantee you there's some of you here probably that had a big thought not to come today because of the week you had. But you came. Some of you are smiling because you know I'm telling the truth. Sometimes the preacher's like that. He don't want to come. The preacher don't want to come? Because guess what? I face the same devil you face. But I'm glad when I get here. That's what I love about Northview. Northview will just change you once you get in here. Amen. I believe that, don't you? Turn to one side and say, I love Northview. Amen. I got some stuff to tell you about Northview in the coming weeks. Amen. But my God shall supply all your needs. Look at verse 19. That's another one. But my God, how many believes the Bible? In Northview, we believe the Bible, right? So we believe every word of it. I believe every word from Genesis to Revelation, even the maps. I believe that. Amen? In the back of the Bible. Every word's inspired. So it said, now I'm fearful. I'm going through fear. I feel like I'm going to lose it. My heart's under attack. My brain's going crazy. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. But the Word said, Paul said, my God shall supply all your need. And sometimes I think I need this or I need that and I need this and I need that and I really don't need that. What I really need is this over here. And God gives me what I really need. Does that ever happen to you? Now, we're still in the introduction. I'm going to read 2 Kings to you in just a second if I get that far. But I want to break down here just a little bit of what's going on. We're talking about courage. He said here in verse 1 to stand firm. Stand fast. When you break that down, it means to stand firm. Strength comes in two different ways. I want to give you this. Strength comes in two different ways. There's an inward strength and there's an invisible strength. The invisible strength is a supernatural part of God that makes Him God. God knows what you're going through, and sometimes you need that inward strength. And look at verse 11. I want to read this to you. Verse 11. He said, not that I speak in respect or want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Couple words you need to get right there. Learn is a key word, because when you're following God, He's going to teach you day by day. So you're learning, but the key word there is content. I want to tell you what contentment is. You got to get this. Paul said, I've learned to be content. How in the world do you be content when you're so miserable with where you're at and what you're going through? How can you be content? Well, here's the meaning of contentment. It's confidence. Paul is saying, I've learned that in whatever state I am, to be still and know that He's God. Knowing that He's God is going to give me the confidence. I know, God, you're going to bring me through this. See, we got to encourage ourselves. How many of you know David encouraged himself one day when everybody turned against him? He knew that God was not going to leave him here, so he said he encouraged himself. But I want you to understand that it says, I've learned to be content. Really what he's saying is, I've learned to be confident. Three things I want to give you from Philippians and also Kings. You remember the story in Kings we read to you last week? When the servant walked out in the morning, they were surrounded by problems, surrounded by trouble. It was so many people, it was like a dark cloud. And he got scared and he ran back to Elisha and he said, what in the world are we going to do? And Elisha says, there's more with us than with him. And he says, see through it again. Go look again. And so he saw through the situation and saw that God was behind him with chariots of fire and all around him. For every enemy, there was two of God's people. Isn't that awesome? Same thing with our lives. So three things I want to give you. Three things I want to give you. Number one, God has promised strength. God has promised strength. When I am weak. Now the weak moments of our life are the challenging moments of our life. And I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to admit that you're weak. Especially for men. We men are macho, you know, you cut us and we don't cry or nothing till you leave, then we cry. But life will cut you. And when we got Superman, and we talk about Superman a lot, but there are times when weakness comes and we feel like we're going to lose it. We don't have any answers to give. See, that's where we really lose it, because we don't have any answers for this situation. But the Bible says God has promised to give us strength. What kind of strength did I say? There's an inward strength. That inward strength is He's going to keep you going when you don't feel like you can go. Amen. He's going to keep you going when you don't feel like you can go. Anybody in here ever been through a situation that you didn't feel like you were going to make? Let your mind go back there just for a second. You remember how terrible it was? But you made it. No, let me back up. You didn't make it. God made it through you. Do you understand you belong to Him? Do you understand you are His workmanship? Do you understand He said, I am not going to leave you? Boy, there's times that the devil will come in and we need that inward strength. So God will give strength. Now, I want you to get this right here. It's an invisible strength. We can't see it. It's nothing. There's nothing there. There's no way out. It doesn't seem like nothing. But here comes the second point. God has promised supply. Now that's the one we need right there. We know the first one. I got the first one, preacher. I got that. God's promised strength. I got that. But here's for the ones we don't have all the time, is that second one that says God will supply. When you've got a need, and that need is real, and that need's about to overcome you, you feel weak. I gotta share this with you. You are a supernatural being. There's only so much strength you've got. And when you've used all you've got, He takes over. The Bible says this way, lean not to your understanding. You know what it says? And we're fighting, we're doing everything we can to keep things afloat, and the boat has got holes in it. We need a brand new boat. Turn to one side and say, I need a new boat. See, honey, I told you I was supposed to buy that boat. See, the preacher gave me word on this. We need a new boat, because this one we've got, we're paddling, we're doing everything we can, and at the end of the day, we are so tired. I'm convinced we don't go to sleep, we just pass out. Are you right? We see the bed, there it is, and we just pass out because we're so tired. You want to know what's tired? I'm preaching to myself now, because we fight all day long trying to keep ourselves ahead. In some situations, we're not going to win by ourselves. Not going to do it. And that's what Paul's trying to tell this church. Listen, I know these people are coming against you. I know they're physically attacking you. Same thing with Elisha. I know there's people surrounding. I know there's more. There's enough people out there to devour us. I know that. But you've got to learn to see through that. You've got to learn to see through that and see that God, Lord, and okay, God, I don't understand. And it's okay to be real with God. It's okay to tell God how you feel. God, I don't know how in the world you're going to do this, but you need to do this. Cares about us. Alright? God has promised supply. In 2 Kings chapter 6, that's the one we're talking about. I won't tell you to turn there because I read it to you last week, but you pretty much understand the story. Elisha and Paul are writing these two letters here with supernatural vision. I want you to understand there's a point in your life. Won't you get this? If you follow God and you serve God, there's going to be times you have to walk in the supernatural. There's going to be times you have to walk in the... Listen, do you know you're a supernatural being anyway? Do you know that you're never going to taste death? Do you know that death is never going to touch you? You may come to my funeral, but I won't be there. Why? Because I'm a supernatural being. And I'm a supernatural being. And guess what? My last breath here in the next breath. I watched my mama breathe her last breath. I watched her. And in my mind, I knew that wasn't the end. Because I knew the next breath, even though I didn't see it, she was with the Lord. The Bible said to be absent in body is present with what? The Lord. That's what the Bible says. And so you got to understand, because we don't fathom that, because we are limited to time and space. We are limited to us. But you are not limited. You are supernatural. And there are things that you're going to encounter in your life. You're going to have to do it supernaturally. What does that mean? That means there are times when you just have to say, God, I figured that out on paper. It don't figure out. I've looked at all the reports that don't figure out. I'm turning this over to you. My God shall supply all your needs. Listen to this. He will attack your fears for you. And here's what happens when God attacks your fears. You will have enough and you will be enough. Because that's the two fears in life. There are two fears in life. Let's be honest. Every one of us in here. There are two fears. Are we going to have enough? And are we going to be enough? Right? And God will address every one of those with His supernatural supply. We're not old enough to know the Great Depression, but we remember it. We remember our grandmas and granddaddies who went through it. Did y'all remember that? They made it, didn't they? How'd they make it? First of all, because grandma and granddad were geniuses, okay? Because we all know that, right? They made it. And you know what? They left that legacy to us. That's what's going on with Northview right now. We're losing some awesome, wonderful people have gone to be with the Lord. And you know, we have a tendency sometimes to say, well, what in the world? And God said, all right, it's your turn. It's your turn. They took the baton and they ran with it. And they did a great job with it. And that's your turn. You don't know why? Because they knew God would supply. And we got to know God will supply, because we got little ones running around here. One day, they're going to be up leading this service. Does that make sense? For two people, it made sense. You got to get this right here, and we're going to close. What time is it?
Quarter to.
That clock is right, just the wrong hour. Two things I want you to get. Now, Elisha and Paul were looking in supernatural vision. Situation. I wrote this down. God gave me that. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. Situation does not determine courage. Situation does not determine courage. But how you see the situation determines courage. I wrote that down for me, and I'm sharing it with you. Because we see a lot of things. But situation does not determine courage. It's how you see it. Courage allows you to attack fear because of how you see it. You're not going to attack me. But so much, devil. And God's going to be with me every step of the way. I know for a fact that if it weren't for God, I wouldn't be here today, because I know the devil hates me that bad. But it's not up to him. Isn't that great? Can he give you one more point? God promised strength. He's promised supply. And the last thing, he's promised sight. And God gave me this and I wrote it down. If we don't allow situation to determine our courage, if we allow courage to overcome. You think that a 15, 16 year old boy with a rag and a rock could defeat a tremendous giant like Goliath? Do you honestly think that he could do that? He did. He had heard that man tear down his God enough. And he knew who God was, because he had him on the mountaintop, and on the, when he was tending the sheep on the side of the hill, he began to sing praises and honor. He knew who his God was. And that man was blaspheming God. He said, I'm not going to take it. So he grabbed the only thing he knew, which was nothing. How in the world are you going to beat a giant with a little rag and a rock? But he took it. He says, I'm going to have the courage to overcome this. Because I see through this giant. I see a God that's bigger than the giant. And some of y'all got giants. So the last thing God promised us, he promised us sight. Here's what he gave me. You're going to see results. You're going to see results. Amen. He said, look beyond those horses and those men. He said, there's more with us than there is with them. And they looked, and they saw chariots of fire. That's an awesome God we serve. I love His Word. Today's society, you know, we're so intelligent, we don't need His Bible anymore. We don't need the Bible anymore, because it talks about stuff that we can't understand. And real intelligence is being able to understand everything. I don't understand everything. But I do understand this. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son for me. That if I'll just call on His name and believe, if I can just believe, all things are possible. If I can just have enough courage to say, God, I will not bow my knee to this. I will not do it. we're going to win. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what you're going through right now. This is not a hyped up preacher speech to try to make you feel good. I'm going to say this in the supernatural. You're going to win. Northview, we're going to win. We're going to overcome everything that comes against us. You're going to overcome everything that comes against you. And God be the glory for great things He has done. May He keep you this week. May He strengthen you this week. When you feel that you're about to lose that mind and lose that heart, may you feel His presence come around you. You know how it feels when somebody you love comes up behind you and they just put their arm around you and just love you? You know how that feels? Well, sometimes this week I want you to take your arms, just wrap them around you like that, and just pretend that that's God doing that. Because He's that kind of God. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Amen. Won't you take your arms, hold them out like this? Don't you do just like this? Don't that feel good? That's God right there. Father, we love you today. We thank you, God, that, Lord, I get scared. So many times I get scared, Lord, and I don't know what to do. I cry and I get mad and I just fall all apart sometimes. But God, you don't give up on me when that happens. You don't turn your back and say, well, I just can't do anything with you. You stand right there and you wait until I'm ready to receive, and then you give me what I need. Lord, there's some precious people in this church right now. They're going through a lot of stuff. And Lord, if it was me, I would love to take it all away from them, but I can't do that. But God, I know that you are there with them. There's a reason sometimes we have to go through the fire. We'll probably never understand that, but we know that you're going to be the fourth man in the fire. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for what it means. I thank you, Lord, for the heritage that it has. I thank you, Lord, for the men and women who have gone on before us who built this church. They built it during hard times. They built it when it was rough. They gave their self when they didn't have nothing else to give. And we will not let it go down. We will continue to hold up our banner high because this church has a heritage. And Lord, I thank you for that heritage. But most of all, Northview's God is God and God alone. And Lord, you never left us and you never will. Give us strength this week, O Lord, to deal with whatever we deal with. And to you we give glory and honor and praise. Amen. Amen. God bless all of you.